You're listening to the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Highmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and joining me today is the one, the only, Mr. Jason Augustus. Jason, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm here.
You're here and alive, and we've got such exciting news. It's absolutely, you know, a stop the presses sort of moment. As you all know, Papa John's became the official pizza of the alt-right, of nationalism in America, and I'm just really excited that the CEO of Papa John's has stepped down and now we'll be joining the Traditionalist Worker Party, helping us be able to feed all of our people at events. It's going to be great. That isn't actually happening, but there actually is a call that he basically was a Nazi and a racist because he said, I don't know about these blacks, kneeling and kind of messing with my brand there. And it looks like he's been driven out of his own company. And it's kind of amazing, like the idea that a man could build his own company, like actually build a company from, like, this is John, right? You know, Papa John, this is the guy. And he actually ends up because he expresses his opinion on something that has been proven, like with the NFL and other brands, to be harmful to a company that, you know, that his corporation was endorsing, was spending money on, that it was hurting his brand. So he said, I don't really know about this. And basically ends up losing his own company out from under him. Jason, what are your thoughts on that? Because that sounds like this guy got Jewed pretty hard. And there is a position, John, if you do want to come over to join the TWP, the offer's open is all I'm saying.
Well, does this mean you lose the argument now when we're discussing if Pizza Hut or Papa John's is better because they lost the National Socialist ingredient?
Oh, that's true. That's No,
they don't have better ingredients anymore. It no. appears you were right prior to this. But there's no more National Socialism in the pizza.
Very, that's press F. I mean, what do you do? I mean, the idea that you can build a company, like the guy like had like took out a loan and he started his first store and like he worked for decades to build up a very successful company. It doesn't matter if you even like his pizza or not, but like good on him. And you end up, you know, losing everything. I mean, you know, because you express a politically incorrect opinion. I mean, this is something I think is really interesting, that if you're a, you know, successful white man or woman, and you could do everything right for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And as soon as something comes up that you might have done that's politically incorrect, it's literally like off to the gulags with you. You know, you lose your job, you lose your profession, you lose your social standing. I mean, this is Soviet level stuff. These Jews are trying to keep control, to enforce their anti-social norms now. So, I mean, Jason, what do you think about that? Like, because it seems like they're going to end up alienating that, you know, so many people and really like driving them to us. I mean, I was joking about obviously Papa John joining our party. But I mean, what do you do if you actually end up start alienating, you know, if a doctor makes a politically incorrect joke? Well, now you're a Nazi and now you're out of your profession. And, you know, OK, we'll take a doctor, you know, yeah, engineers, you guys that work on a factory floor, farmers, all the, you know, mothers, all these people who can, for honest mistakes or just disagreeing with like white genocide, can lose everything in society and be driven out, even if it's something they built. You know, there's literally some dude right now at Papa John's looking at the company and going, I built this. You know, like it seems like they're just going to push all the white folks to our side.
I don't think based on this alone, really. I don't think we're going to see like a gigantic exodus of engineers and pizza makers. Because Papa John's is out of the job.
The best pizza maker,
yeah,
though.
The best pizza maker. Yeah. I mean, with all these little things, you get flickers where people are like, hey, there's a double standard. And then they're like, okay, I guess I'm going to be a Nazi now. I mean, that's how it happened to most of us, I'm guessing. It's like, hey, that's not fair to me. So let me become a Nazi now.
It's a weird moment.
Yeah, but I think this is just another show that whatever you build, the Jews are going to destroy, and whatever you love, the Jews are going to kill. So that's like the basic reality of the world that we live in. And little by little, people are going to realize it. It's not going to be pizza that ushers us in the new era of young Nazis ready to make a change. But it's going to be people that think, I can do something. And then they try to do something. And then they get banned. They get ostracized. Everybody hates them. And they're like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go to people who aren't going to ban me, who aren't going to ostracize me, and people who actually love me.
I just wanted a student union, Jason. Yeah. This didn't have to happen.
Listen, I just wanted to play music.
I know, like, they could have just let us have, like, the little things we wanted, the scraps off the table, but the Jews had to be like, you know, no, like, no, Goy, you're not allowed to have anything. We're going to humiliate you and embarrass you and attack you. And it's like, all right, eventually someone's got to handle these Jews, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of a problem. Speaking of Jews, you know, Cornelio Quadriano said, of course, that the only thing worse than a Jew, the only thing worse than an enemy, is a traitor. And, you know, within our ranks, I think it's a pretty funny thing, Jason, you've seen this for years. The ex-skinheads, they're my favorite. Like, there's a couple. TJ Layden is one. I actually saw him my junior year of college speak at Towson University. And we actually marched like a dozen. Back then, it was Youth for Western Civilization. Like a dozen of us to go sit in the front row in our black pants, black boots, and black shirts to, like, stare at him. Because, like, the dude's like, I mean, that guy is a pretty pathetic wimp. And, you know, I've talked to skinheads that actually, like, knew him when he was actually, like, in the movement. And he wasn't a skinhead leader. He was, like, a dude that hung out and, like, other dudes, like, banged his girlfriend and, like, you know, beat him up because he was, like, a shrimp. And eventually, you know, and that's not good. Like, I'm not saying, like, the movement in the 80s was, like, a really great place to be. You know, it was kind of some dark days, and that sort of behavior is not what we should be doing in terms of a movement of the people's community. Apparently the, you know, like Mr. Layden, you know, just kind of like a dude, like a street soldier sort of thing. And, you know, he realized that racism was mean, when he got to go on a college tour and get his book published to be on TV to talk about how, like, racism is wrong. And on the flip side, Christian Piccolini is another one that he was like, he literally says, like, you know, I was, like, one of the, like, the biggest skinhead leaders, but he was, like, out of the movement by, like, 22 or something like that. No, you weren't. Not a thing. You weren't leading, you weren't the leader of Volksfront. You weren't the leader of the Hammerskins. You're just a dude, you know, but you know, there's this big business to become a traitor, right? Because you get to be not just like Dave, the guy who, you know, wore a swastika patch on a bomber jacket and, like, you know, went to a concert a couple times. No. You get to be like skinhead supreme leader and then, like, get paid thousands and thousands of dollars to tell your story, to tell your testimony about how you walked away from hate. It's really pathetic. Like, it's a really sad life of just, like, people sign out. Like, if you're going to leave the movement, like, just do it. Just leave the movement, you know? Like, you don't have to go and betray your comrades and your standards and the supposed things you believed in. If you can't handle it anymore, because this is a stressful life. I'm not going to say it isn't. Just walk away. That's it. That's all you got to do. But these guys are traitors. They sell out for money. And, you know, the Mr. Piccolini has gotten millions of dollars under the Obama administration, literally, like, millions of dollars of grants were allocated to help fight, like, white extremism. And apparently he's gotten 200 people to leave the movement. I mean, first of all, what does that mean? Because, like, if someone, like, tells me, you know, that they're going to leave TWP, it's like, okay, you know, send back your shirt if you want. Like, you know, not a big deal, man. Like, good on you. Like, it's not like you need to be, like, rescued. It's not like leaving the mafia. Like, it's not like you're leaving, you know, some sort of, like, secret cult compound in the woods. No, you just kind of, like, don't do it anymore, right? But he's getting, like, millions of dollars to try and, like, save haters. And he reached out to Dylan Roof. The reason I bring this up is he reached out to Dylan Roof. And Dylan had a, I think, really great response. And before you comment, Jason, I want to read it. Because, you know, he's a man behind the wire, and that needs to be remembered. And, you know, so much of what's going on now, where really the Jewish media and the left has been forced to, like, First of all, conservatives were forced to cuck on the Confederate flag and European symbols and heritage and advocacy. But the left really like flipped themselves and I think really has escalated and really driven a lot of whites to our side. Now, we cannot condone, obviously, what was done. But at the same time, to be a young white man in America and just see the rapes and the murders of your sisters, to see the displacement of your people. And that was really before the Traditionalist Worker Party even existed. And, you know, like the Nationalist Front with our allies in the League of the South, we weren't as active as we were. And I mean, you know, Dylann Roof wrote in his manifesto that he didn't see anyone do anything positive on the streets and communities. And we are doing that now. It's taken a lot of work. But to be a young man that sees that there's something wrong and seeing no one that's truly answering these problems, it's understandable why, you know, someone might be compelled in that direction. Now, what we need is to not have things go down like that, but take that sort of energy and put it towards positive things, because we need to be positive. We need to be a legal movement. But at the same time, I think it's important to remember him and to pray for him. You know, he is on death row, to pray for his soul and not just bitch out, pardon my language, because of the political ramifications of that. Because it's understandable when someone feels, you know, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, I believe, that riots are the voice of the voiceless. And when someone feels like they have no voice, it's understandable why they might try and assert that they have a voice. But anyway, so he wrote this letter after Christian Piccolini reached out to him, and starts with the best thing ever. Traitor. Not dear traitor, not dear Christian Piccolini, traitor, traitor. You've really cashed in, haven't you? I know you won't be, but you really should be ashamed of yourself. I hope you know that you're 100 times worse than the Jews you've surrounded yourself with. You couldn't handle the mental stress that comes along with white nationalism, so you took the easy way out. What is so disgusting about that is, rather than just leave white nationalism behind, you decided to devote your time to undermining your own race. Now you're traveling around Eastern Europe looking for white racial awareness wherever you can find it, because you know there's no racism from whites for you to fight here. I can only image the mental hoops you have to jump through, the cognitive dissonance that you must employ on a daily basis. If your book is meant to be an argument against racism or hate, you failed. That's not your fault, because no logical argument exists and none of them hold up to even the smallest amount of critical thinking. But I'm sure you haven't been doing too much of that lately. Do you realize the only argument you have, the only point you make, is that it's wrong to go around with so much hate in your heart? Do you realize that this is solely based on emotion, not facts? I mean, really, what is the point of your book? If you took out the last few chapters of your book, it would actually make the case for white nationalism, not against it. I won't even go into your allegedly blaming yourself for your brother's death, your comments on the leftist protesters, which are so ridiculous, I literally guffawed. One of the unforgivable sins is to know the truth and deny it. I'm unable to understand how you're able to live with yourself. Have fun beating a dead horse. Dylann Roof. Jason, thoughts, feelings, metaphysical speculations?
Being that he is on death row and, you know, he's got to definitely get some points out there, I agree with what he said and how he phrased this. I think, you know, maybe somebody who's not on death row probably wouldn't have taken that guy that seriously. I probably would have just said, your face is stupid. Your life is stupid. Everything about you is stupid. Like, I would have just taken what little credibility he has, because the guy only really has credibility amongst Jews and their stupid little lackeys. The average person doesn't actually even know who the hell this guy is.
No.
Like, more people know who
this guy is. Well, he was a former skinhead leader.
Yeah, he's the...
Or so the internet tells me.
Yeah, you know, he's like second coming of Hitler because he says so. But yeah, he made a lot of good points here, and it seems Mr. Roof has been getting woke a little bit more on the Jews in prison, because if you remember in his manifesto, the only thing he actually said about Jews was that they were an enigma, and he doesn't know what they're doing or why they're doing it.
I really like that he invoked that he wasn't crazy because psychiatry is Jewish, like, pseudoscience.
Yes, that was also
based.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even have my coffee planned to talk about, like, such a controversial topic. But, I mean, Jason, what do you think about that? Because, like, the one thing I think it's important to remember is that, like, the blacks always have Team Black, right? The Latinos always have Team Latino. The Jews certainly always have Team Jew. Like, there is no concept in other races of, like, throwing your own under the bus – or even distancing yourself, because it's still your family. Like, you know, your brother can do something boneheaded that you just can't understand, or do something that you just mildly disagree with, or do something that you that's great and you love, right? But he's still your brother. And I kind of want to know your thoughts on, you know, I mean, Dylan Roof is going to die. I mean, we're all going to die, right? But he's going to be executed. You know, and it's kind of one of those things where if you look at, you know, the policies of the state senator in question there, how many white women, you know, based on his Black Lives Matter stuff and his radical anti-white policies, how many whites were going to die? Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's acceptable. It isn't. You know, we're a legal, peaceful political movement, but there's no accountability for government traitors and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm just gonna turn it over to you and hear what your thoughts are. Have you read Siege?
Here's the thing, like, I mean, people have this really standoffish attitude when it comes to people like Dylan Roof, and, you know, because white people more than anyone are afraid of the things that they say. No other group of people in this country is more conscious of the words that come out of their mouth than white people. So when anything even slightly approaches controversial, they're going to kind of shrink back. And even admittedly, ourselves, we're a little bit, you know, we're on the edge when we have to talk about things like Dylan Roof. But what we have to remember is that every group of people on this planet has a group mentality. And because that's natural, that's normal. But we're just sort of kind of getting back in touch with that again. Mainly out of survival, because it's like a necessity. So, you know, we have to look at Dylan Roof one way or the other as though he is team white, even though he doesn't represent our interests entirely 100% to the frickin' letter. But we can say that about a lot of people, like a lot of these alt-right groups. You know, I'm not a particular fan of the alt-right, but at the end of the day,
Bruce, like, National Socialist, damn it.
Yeah, I'm a Nazi. I'm not, you know, I don't wear polos. I don't do that stuff. But I seen a comment, the top comment on that. You remember that MTV's Dear White People thing? Mm. The top comment on there is Nathan Domingo.
Domingo. Doofus. Who knows?
But he has the top comment on there, and he's given the, like, you know, the white genocide mantra. And I'm like, man, I really don't like this guy. Man, I really don't like this guy, but I have to keep that as the top comments. I got to do what I can. So I hit the little thumbs up.
May 100 cab drivers be robbed in his name.
Yeah. I mean, screw that guy. I mean, for the record, I'm going to say screw that guy. But
he's such a weasel. You know,
at the same time, that's important. That's more important than my disdain for him.
No, I get that, because it's a team white thing. Although, yeah. Real question, what do you think it'd be like if he punched someone who wasn't a 90-pound girl? Like, imagine recreating his famous Goldilocks thing with, like, just like a dude or like a girl that was like above 5'5".
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I could smash up Domingo. I can't even pronounce his name. It looks like flamingo every time I read it. I can't read it as whatever the hell it is.
And for the record, for our dear listeners, he's come out swinging not only against us, but against the League of the South, against really everyone. You know, you don't get to, you know, start the battle and then, you know, not get a volley in response. But cowardice, speaking of traitors, cowards. But anyway, yeah, no, I mean, the thing is, like, Jesse Jackson, like Al Sharpton, like, literally go, remember when there was, like, what was it, like, Tukey, that black guy that, like, didn't he, like, kill cops or something? And he was on, like, death row and they were like, free Tukey. And it's like, but he did it. Like, yeah, but he wrote, like, a children's book that said, don't shoot cops. Like, you know, that, go tell that police widow to, like, you know, go shove it up her butt, right? Because he, like, you know, wrote a children's book and talked about nonviolence. Like literally, they had, like, government, like people in the United States government and others, like, these big, like, black social justice advocates and stuff like that, literally saying, like, yeah, no, like, he's like, a mass murderer, but, like, he should come free because, like, he's a black guy and he's okay. I mean that's the sort of thing, of course, like the SPLC or like the ADL would never, like, report. It's like Matthew Heimbach says, like, sympathetic thing about Dylan Roof. Like, first of all, like, cheap shot. I'm just gonna call it out right there for when you write that inevitable article, because you know, you would never do that to to any other group. And we know that because you're Jewish and you're anti-white, and you're not even traitors, because if you were white, then you would be a traitor. But, you know, the sort of thing is, like, literally every other group. I mean, Jason, you're entirely right. They're in tune with themselves that they always stand by their own. I mean, there's that funny cartoon, which I think is very accurate. You know, it's like a black guy being arrested by the police. There's like bodies everywhere and like the storefront's on fire. You know, the crowd is assembled and they're yelling at the white cop. They're like, you know, you're abusing him. Like, them cuffs are too tight, you know, like, and there's like five dead people. Like, you know, yeah. It's like police brutality. They always have their own team. And that's a good thing. Like, I'm not insulting that. I'm not denigrating that in any way. Like, blacks have other blacks' backs. You know, Arabs have the same thing. You know, Latinos have the same thing. But whites don't have that. And we need to start, because the entire world views us as a collective. That, you know, you white man, like, who's listening right now, you are paying for Dylann Roof right now, right? You're paying for Hitler. You're paying for the Crusaders. You're paying for anyone who has ever done anything that the Jews disagree with, right? So you're gonna have to pay for it one way or the other. I'd rather just settle accounts, you know, because you don't win any points by like throwing people under the bus, by breaking ranks on Team White. You don't win any points. When you're like, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything that Hitler did, you know, like, you know, just like, shut up. Like, well, I would have been a monarchist in Germany in 1933. Like, we should have brought back the Kaiser. Shut up. Like, no, you're wrong. And you're not impressing anybody, because like, if you're to the right of, you know, Karl Marx, then you're an enemy of the Jews and they're going to treat you as such. So like, we don't win any points by being clever and trying to go along, because they don't care about human rights. Right. So they bombed the Serbs, in Yugoslavia. They killed tens of millions of Germans in the Second World War. They are demographically displaced us from every country. They don't care about human rights. Like right now, like, so, you know, since we've been recording this show, multiple white men and women have died from drug overdoses thanks to American foreign policy for Greater Israel with the opium trade in Afghanistan, and the Jewish Sackler family from Purdue Pharma that makes OxyContin, that's making billions of dollars off our pain and suffering. You know, how many families have been torn apart due to Jewish feminism and stuff like that? They don't care about human lives. They don't care because we're not human to them, right? We're not human to them. So these Jews, we can't appease their standards, because their standards are inherently anti-human. They're inherently anti-us. So we can't impress them with distancing ourselves from different people historically. It's better to just beat your chest and say, like, yep, I own every single one of my members of my family, good and bad, because they're my family. And you have no right to say anything about them, because you are a different tribe. And I don't care what your opinion is. What are your thoughts on that, Jason?
I just think it's really, really... Man, we got like a really stroke of bad luck here, man, with just the Jews. When you understand that this is really just us versus Jews.
Understatement of the year, by the way.
Yeah.
Stroke of bad luck there.
We got the worst stroke of bad luck ever. Not only that, we're facing the most evil creature that has ever existed in the history of anything. I mean, short of like, you know, stuff you got in religions and stuff, like Satan himself.
Yeah, six of one, half a dozen of another, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, they look like us. How much does that suck? Like, that's where they get us. That's what makes this so difficult, is that it's not black and white like you know, a lot of the older skinheads like we were talking about before tend to think, like, race war. It's not a race war. This is not a race war. This is a holy war. This is good against evil, us against Jews.
For the sake of... No. Wait, wrong video, my bad.
But yeah, that's what makes this incredibly difficult to speak out against or stand up to, is that not only are they this evil and this out to kill us, but they look so much like us. How do you get around that? How do you really, like... I mean, aside from... Because you can't point at last names. Most of their last names are, like, Swedish, German. They don't have last names. They don't have identities. But we know what they are. They know what they are.
Oh, you throw holy water on them and they burn.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was about to crack a joke at work the other day. You know, one of my coworkers had, you know, he put a bag on his head. He was like, look, a yarmulke. And I wanted to tell him why the Jews wore yarmulkes. I was like, do you know why Jews wear yarmulkes? And one of my other coworkers popped in and said, to hide the horns. I was like, oh, it's so nice being around other white people.
Base. Hey, by the way, I heard a joke last night that I think is really funny. Totally unrelated to what we're talking about. But you know why the sun doesn't set on the British Empire?
Why?
Because God doesn't trust an Anglo in the dark.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you, Slavic friends, and I will be open to reading any Slavic jokes for any of my Anglo listeners that want to respond to that.
Didn't Poland just elect
a Jew?
So they did go backwards, didn't they? It's a Polish joke in itself.
Yeah, that's.
I'm sorry, Poland. I love you guys, but what the? Why?
Because he's going to open up the economy, and he's really interested in European integration, and basically. There is no safe place, ladies and gentlemen. There's no there's no battleground where we get to draw the line. It's just total war. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. You know, we will build our communities. These empires won't last forever, and we shall build from the ashes and reclaim our land, every single gosh darn inch of it. But I just wish every country didn't have that element of pause in it, like European one, that is. You know, like. I'm sure you could actually probably like go to Nigeria and be like, you know, hey guys, this like Jew banker wants to like own your stuff and like be mean to your people and like promote gay stuff in your country. And they'd be like, nah, we good. Like, oh, but look at all this money you can get. Like, nah, we good. You know, it's like all the Europeans. I don't understand why we do this to ourselves. It drives me crazy. But like, I mean, you're right. We were talking about earlier, we need to get our collective identity back because when it isn't about your own personal well-being, but it's about the collective, everyone is on the same team. Everyone has to be cared for. Everyone is your ally and your comrade. And that's where we need to be. One big happy family working together for the same goals. And while every other group of people does that, especially the Jews, they work collectively to undermine and subvert everything. We need to have it for our people.
Yeah, I completely agree. Even though you're like reiterating the point that I made, so I'm like agreeing with myself, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that's a thing. We need to really figure out how, aside from just being like, oh, Jews look evil, so I know that that's a Jew. We got to really figure out a way that we can really discern ourselves from them.
But we're gonna put the blue Twitter verification marks. They're gonna have to wear that.
That's a good start.
Yeah,
that's a good start. But I mean, there really has to be something here. I mean, they out themselves right now. I mean, they're making it a lot easier for us to tell who they are. So like, I happen to be Jewish.
Making a list, yeah. And checking it twice. Gotta find out who's Yiddish or nice.
Yeah, I'm tired of that my fellow white man thing. Just, I'm so sick of it. I mean, it's hysterical to us, but to the average, you know, the average white guy. They don't freaking know.
Looks white to me.
Yeah, I mean, look at the entirety of Poland. They're like, that's a Pole.
Yeah, I think that's nonsense because Poles are the most anti-Semitic people I've ever met on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, along with the Romanians, like, they were the ones during World War II. Like, the Germans, like, rolled up and, you know, hello, like, we are here to liberate you. And I was like, cool story. We're going to, like, grab these Jews and take them into the woods. Like, oh, yeah, this is wunderbar. Yeah, wunderbar. Thank you. And, like, the Poles did that because, like, they lived under slavery to the Jews. Eastern Europe has lived under slavery to the Jews, not just with communism, but for hundreds of years before that with these Jewish financiers and these merchants. The Eastern Europeans know the Jew. So the idea of Poland electing a Jew to lead their government is just proof that, once again, political parties need to be uncompromising, or you end up getting traitors who are looking for political power or for money or prestige running the show. You've got to be uncompromising. For our values as National Socialists in battle against organized Jewry and for the sake of our people. And we can't compromise or cuck, even if it's politically expedient, even if it gets us money, even if it might move things forward. We need to stay by our positions radically and fanatically, because if we don't, then we end up losing everything in the long run, you know? So, Jason, final thought coming to the end of the show. We are here at the end of the end of what is really an exciting week because Monday is going to be Christmas, so I'm not going to be here for that. But what are your final thoughts to send our dear listeners off into a Christmas weekend?
Make sure you spend time with families and stuff, so, you know, do all that fun stuff. And no Jews are allowed.
Yeah. Really funny sidebar on that. Like, you know, it comes down to like a liability issue along with like morality. But like, my wife, you know, my son was playing with like one of the neighborhood kids, and like non-white neighborhood kid came up and then like wanted to like come on our property. It's like, not happening. Like, and I'm not even trying to be a dick. I'm just saying from like a liability purpose, it would be really ridiculous for like the local like NS people to like, cause he could say anything. Yeah. Right. Like that's like a liability, but at the same time, it's like, as I, you know, roll up my sleeve, you know what this means? This means not welcome. So, remember, keep your Christmas happy. Keep it white. Love your family. Remember, for all my Christian comrades, Christ is born, unless you're Orthodox, we have to wait 13 more days. But, you know, the coming of the incarnate Savior. And what did Jesus do? He drove the Jews out, and he's at war with the Jews. So everything you do, just remember, Jews are your enemy. They're the misfortune, the cause of all the wars, as St. Mel Gibson said. And have a Merry Christmas. So, Jason, say it with me. A one, a two, a three. Hail victory!
Listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan